Yo, it is Monday, June 20th. Kyle and I are sitting in a patio in North Carolina, Asheville. And did you know 11 presidents have stayed in this place? That's a lot. We're going to make it 12 pretty soon. I don't know what that means.
Well,
presidents of the United States.
Presidents in the United States.
Because there are some other presidents here right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we've got, I think our good friend Liza Borges is she's moving into the president role or the chairman role of VADA. We're out here at VADA, the Virginia Auto Dealers Association, in beautiful, gorgeous,
it's stunning,
Asheville.
Dude. Not too many places. Look, there aren't too many hotels I've been to where you go on the website and you're like, oh, it looks pretty nice.
Okay.
Usually you get there and you're like, man, they had a really wide angle lens when they took a photo of this room because it's a lot smaller than it looked, or the place doesn't look as good. We rolled up, and it's like we both came in separate times. We brought our families, and when the Daly family pulled up, we were just like, like stunned at how beautiful this place is.
Exactly. We rolled up, and we first went to a barbecue restaurant, which if you're ever in Asheville, this barbecue, I think it's like Lily's or whatever it is. It is On Point Barbecue, and then like we're coming up, you know, winding up, and my kids are even like, that golf course is gorgeous. You know, like they haven't seen a ton of golf courses because I'm not a golfer, right?
Me neither.
But yeah,
neither.
It's just a really nice place. Beautiful to be here. And it was really cool just to be around last night, you know, the opening reception, dealers, industry partners. And, you know, the thing that I loved most about last night and getting in here, and I think that this is probably pervasive across a lot of automotive, especially at the Auto Dealer Association level, was so our kids are here. And they gave all of our kids name badges. And not just that, but they gave them a sticker right underneath that that said VIP.
Oh, yeah. My kids are happy about that.
Without a doubt.
I want one.
And then they treated them like that. There were games and even the kids' table for food.
They had a food table
was
for
like,
kids.
Was like 18 inches off the ground.
And they had hot dogs, corn dogs, soft pretzels, bags of popcorn. Like
dialed in.
My youngest daughter, Lee, she showed up with a plate to the table. You saw this happen.
And
it has two like 5-inch wide chocolate chip cookies stacked with a soft pretzel on top of that and a pile of macaroni and cheese, and I was like, I know that. I know you're going back and you're getting some chicken, you're getting some protein.
Exactly.
She was like, what? It's on the table. So this place that we're in, we're gonna talk about a little bit more about what we heard last night at the conference. We're speaking today, we're gonna spend the next couple of days with a bunch of dealers. However, this place has an unbelievable automotive heritage. When you walk around, they have pictures of all the people that have stayed here. And I mean, we're talking like Helen Keller, like all just like Harry Houdini.
But even like, it was the Firestones, right? That family.
The Firestones,
yeah.
Henry Ford, and Thomas Edison. They have a picture of the three of those guys around a Model T. And there's a Model T parked on loan from some family that owns it.
We're going to get some epic photo down.
Yeah, we need B-roll now. But the automotive legacy just in this place is unbelievable. Like, I didn't realize, like, Ford and Firestone and Edison were just, like, hanging out.
Just chilling here. It's unbelievable. And then there's actually an auto museum. So, yeah, if you're ever in Asheville, the Omni Grove Park Inn is what it is. And there's a history museum for auto. So, just a really neat place. And there's some legacy here. And speaking of legacy.
Stop. Segway.
Time.
We're never too far away from a Segway button.
That's right.
No matter where we are in this world.
last night, the president of VADA, Don Hall, just kind of gave this opening remark that was centered around what we have been talking about in Asotu for a while, is that the franchise dealer model is under attack.
Legit.
Right? And whether it be from market forces or from the Capitol Hill, right, wherever it is that it is under attack.
You know, deregulation,
exactly.
Sales model, all that.
And what he said, and kind of left it there, and I think I'm guessing what's going to be explored, and we're going to explore that as we speak today, is that we're going to fight back, right? And it was, for me, it was this interesting, like, mode of saying fight that was like, we're going to go with swords and guns back. And I think that my question and my question that I'm going to pose and continue to pose to dealers and industry partners is, who's that fight against, right? Is the fight against you know, is it against Capitol Hill? Is it against consumers? Is it against, you know, other companies that are coming to disrupt the dealer model? Maybe it's a little bit of all, but I think that the mode of the fight is what we want to talk about.
You said something really interesting right there. You said, is it against consumers? And I think that if we're not careful, it's easy to recontextualize, or without even mentally looking at Capitol Hill and looking at all the benefits of the way we do business, of turning that against consumers and not paying enough attention to what the consumers are telling us that they want.
Absolutely.
And saying, no, it's in our best interest to lock these laws down, even though it's not what consumers want. We have to be very careful that we don't do that, because you and I talk a lot about, or actually, the problem we're actually solving is the consumer experience.
Yes.
And we can't do that if we keep tying their hands behind their back, because it benefits our business model. It's a very tricky needle to thread.
Yeah. So I think the fight is actually against, the fight is honestly, it's against ourselves.
Always.
Right? We're our own worst enemy when it comes to
me
this
versus
fight,
me. Yeah.
Right? And so if we recontextualize, like, if we fight with ourselves, like, in not this contentious way, but like, hey, look, we recognize that the consumer experience, the way that we've done business is allowing others to come in from multiple different directions and challenge the way that we've always done business. And so we have to think outside the box in this way that we've always done business, and understand that the legacy of franchise retail is good in the way that it curates community and allows for, you know, small business to thrive and all of those great things about retail auto, but understand that we haven't done well en masse, right? I mean, we're not saying there are plenty of people doing well for the customer in their local spheres, but en masse to serve the customer and prove that this is the best way for
to keep that at the top.
Exactly.
Right. And you know, that's one of the things that happens or is easy to neglect when things in the industry are so good and so profitable.
Right. Yes.
Right. It's easy to neglect that because, like, I must be doing it right because I'm making so much money. There's a lot of truth to that, but there's also everything we do in life, right? We do one thing and it affects something that is down the line, right?
Yep.
What we eat, how we treat people, all these things, right? We're doing it now and it might seem like a good decision, but there is a secondary and tertiary effect. And so paying attention to what that is. One of the big conversations right now, new car affordability. Speaking of...
Segway.
Man, just a little bit.
We got it.
We
two segways in Asheville this morning. New vehicle prices are still going up. They're still going up. Average new car price, $55,821 is the average. It's approaching actually the average U.S. median income level.
That is nuts, man. I mean, I remember thinking that when, and I was with Mazda a year ago, when Mazda went from like an average new car price and they finally like came out with the stats that it was no longer 24,000, that it was 27,000.
They were like, Mazda. Oh man.
Now, naturally, Mazda doesn't have like trucks and large SUVs and stuff like that to sway that. But I mean, thinking about anything being $30,000 as an average in the market,
it's
over
crazy.
That.
I mean, it's like double the number you just said.
Right. Yes.
So Cox Automotive chief economist, good friend of ours, Jonathan Smoke, DJ Smokey Smoke, for those who love him most, says, you know, it's never been higher ever in the history of the auto industry. We thought it was high last year. We thought it was high 6 months ago. It's never been higher now. But he's like, I don't hear anyone talking about affordability at all.
Yeah.
Dealers aren't talking about it at all. Well, go ahead.
Well, it is interesting because, and we've actually been talking about this the last couple of days, is like contextualizing down what's happening in the market or in the news down to the dealer level. It seems like there is some loss of like, is that really happening on the ground level? And is it a conversation that we're needing to have at the dealer level? Mm-hmm. And what these are saying is, hey, this is not something that is happening as a mode of,
well, there's a separation, right? In a little bit, in, or maybe a lot, in what we're talking about vehicle affordability in general, right? Used car affordability and new car affordability. So new car affordability, much more around like the want buyer, right? For a new car, if you want to buy a new car, it's a bit of a luxury, and so, you know, the folks that are, you know, in new car buyers, there's just no trip in demand constantly. You know, the article in Automotive News that we're citing in ours today is Paul Walzer. You know him, former NADA chair, Walzer Automotive Group. Also, you know, Mike Manley of AutoNation are saying, look, people are begging for more new cars, even at the prices they're at.
Oh, without a doubt.
Even in the article, it talks about a $2,000 F&I average on every.
Unbelievable.
Even with that, everyone's begging for new inventory.
So. Yeah, everyone that I talk to is like, oh, we're still sold out into our pipeline. People are still asking for particular models. Like, there are still sideline buyers, yep. Right? So it's not stopping, at least in the new car retail side of stuff. I don't see, even if it was named that we're in a recession tomorrow, I just don't think that demand is going to stop for a significant amount of time.
And then when that happens, like, what happens after that? Conversations like, well, maybe that's when incentives come back, when that's pricing come back.
Yep.
So although inventory is just steering the ship still right now. Inventory shortage steering the ship. So look, managing the balance between your new car business and your used car business so that you can serve all the consumers is really still what the focus is. So for those who can do it, great. Remember, it wasn't too long ago when new cars were reported as a loss on your P&L.
Without a doubt.
Remember that? You're like, oh, the new car business is reported as a loss. I would tell people that.
Hey, Sonny, there was a day in my life, right?
I used to tell people that were in the auto industry, and they were like, what do you mean dealers aren't just raking in the money on those new cars?
Right.
I was like, let me explain something.
It's so interesting.
All right, yeah. So we're moving through the show today because battery's probably going to die.
I know.
Because
we're looking outside. At it like, oh boy, we're dying.
If we drop out, this is going to be audio only for the rest of the show.
It's all good. Well, hey, we saw actually an article this morning that we just thought was interesting in the Wall Street Journal that looking at a couple different beer halls, and I know we're stretching. You're
speaking
like,
these of beer
guys
halls,
are talking about beer halls this morning, right?
Well, we are in Asheville. There are a lot of great beer places in Asheville.
That's exactly true, right? They were looking at a couple of these beer halls, and they pointed to one in particular, a company called Bigger Staff, and their owners, Sarah and Clay Davies, are moving into a model where they're actually looking to find revenue sources outside of just their beer and food. And they realized that, hey, they were opening up at noon, 1 o'clock every day when people are into beer and food. And they had all this extra space in their day to find a revenue source, and they're doing it in coffee.
That makes, like, we have this bar, we have this specialty equipment, we have this ability to mix things together.
There it is.
Right? Yep. And we have people that love coming here.
Well, and what they started realizing is that the community that they had already crafted and curated around beer was actually very interested in craft coffee, right?
Big surprise.
And so there was this, like, translation immediately of community into revenue source, right? So that they had already built. And I won't lean too much on that, but you know, you hear me talk a lot about, like, build a coffee shop, build a something in your dealership that crafts community or takes your current community and just moves it into
another gap that they already have, right? It's identifying the need with the resources you have and saying, how can I serve the community in a broader sense?
Yeah. So the ground balls, obviously, in retail auto are some sort of food or coffee shop, although that's definitely a tough revenue source to lean into, right?
To actually,
if you don't have that already.
Yeah.
But another ground ball is EV charging, right? Setting up as you're building out, you know, the way for people to easily move in and out, mm-hmm. thinking about if you are, you know, looking at Blue Sky or open spaces for your next building,
yeah.
You know, am I in a high trafficked area that may need an EV resource?
If you are, we know you have the parking lot space right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that. But if you think about, like, what you can actually do to, you know, I don't know how the electricity charging, I mean, obviously there's a margin when you charge EVs, right? We just put one outside our new building. We haven't activated it yet, but there's a margin on the electricity.
Yep.
Like, imagine if you had the ability right now to sell gas at a lower price and have good coffee and have fast Wi-Fi, right? You're going to get the commuter traffic, especially when EV charging takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, right? Come in 20 minutes, get something great. EV you just have the people in community, right? Because then you have all these other things going on, like tires.
Yep.
Tires. Well, service.
And
being around.
I even think about this, right? Is what else do people do outside of your normal working hours, right? Who said, you know, watching the Super Bowl at a dealership wouldn't be fun?
Well,
right?
Or Beaver Toyota.
Beaver Toyota, they definitely do that. But there's other ways to recontextualize or open up space or open up time to make sure that you're crafting community. And what that actually does is it refeeds the other part of your business.
I'm willing to bet So we were talking about this yesterday, and we'll talk about this another time. But David Spisak, who you know, but made a really bold move, and he took his external marketing spend and he turned it all internal. Right. We'll talk about that more. But imagine if you took a community-oriented staff member, and you're like, they're in charge of the community. I'm allocating marketing budget to this community person.
Yes.
Man, I can't see any way where that doesn't get you triple the ROI that you got from your marketing spend, literally wherever you were putting it.
Period. Yeah. And the hard part for dealers and for anyone looking at revenue on a monthly basis is it might not turn into revenue in 2 weeks.
It does not. It will not turn into revenue in two weeks.
Yep. Yeah. So you have to have a forward-thinking mindset. Think outside the box. But if you want legitimate business opportunities in 1, 2, 3 years, crafting community and finding ways to find revenue and resourcing your community within the spaces that you're already in are an absolute necessity.
I'll tell you where it will give you a turnaround in 2 weeks. Recruiting.
There you go.
If you have someone out in the community, it's not just come buy a car. It's like, come work at this amazing place I work at.
Without it.
Right?
Yes.
How much is a new recruit worth? Holy shit.
Right now? Oh, man. You should have seen we could have had a billion articles about how small businesses are struggling to hire still right now.
Well, I think we're out of battery. I think we need to wrap this up.
We're out of battery.
All right, so we're going to be here for the next 2 or 3 days. Follow our social media. We're going to try to give you some more stuff here. We'll be here every day the next couple days, and then we'll be somewhere else. But it's Monday. It's beautiful. Lean into your people.